Our first reading this evening from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, the 13th chapter. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Amen. St. Paul writes in our epistle reading today, "Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep." You know the time. That has been a theme, or at least a goal, of the end of the church year readings. That is, to alert you to the time. As we make our way in the Advent season, it is appropriate to dig into that thought a little bit more. What time are we talking about? And what did it look like before in similar circumstances? And to tie it all together, let us simply begin with this. The time that we are looking for, that time is when God will be with us. When God will be with us. That is what you are for. That is where all of history is headed. The time when we will dwell with God forever. If you are looking for the goal of the story of all of humanity, if you are looking for the reason for everything, all of creation, every single person born ever, everyone was made to be with God, and he is returning. That is what St. Paul is alerting or trying to awaken his readers to when he is writing Romans chapter 13. Salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. So, Paul will urge, do not mess around. Stop with the nonsense. Stop with the drunkenness, the immorality, the quarreling, the jealousy. Knock all of that stuff off and instead put on Christ. Put on the armor of light. Walk as in the daytime, because he says, the light is coming. And Paul's not blind. He said, yes, it is dark now. It does not look like daylight now, but the sunrise is coming. And he says, you know it. You have been told beforehand. Now, it is true, as we have been hearing these past few weeks, that it will be hard. No, it will be impossible to miss the return of Christ. And no one has an excuse. No one can say it will take them by surprise, because God has sent his word out into all of the world. As we heard a couple weeks ago, he has sent other signs as well. And yet, it will take many by surprise. And that will look like someone who, after spending so much time awake at night, doesn't understand why the sky is turning blue all of a sudden. He had been told that the sun was going to rise, but he wonders, what is that yellow ball rising in the east? So as I said, let's look back at some other similar circumstances and see what happened before. We are headed toward Christmas, so let's look there. Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah prophesied about for thousands of years, is born in Bethlehem of Judea. People knew it was coming. When the wise men go to Herod to ask about where the new king is born, where the Christ is to be born, the scribes immediately reply, Bethlehem. They knew it. They knew the Christ was coming. They knew where he was going to be born. But there wasn't anyone posted in Bethlehem. No official was placed there to record new births, just in case something important happened. And furthermore, no one goes with the wise men as they make their way to Bethlehem. Instead, I mean, you know what the nativity scene looks like. You know that it's some shepherds and the wise men. That's it. Everyone else goes on as if it were totally normal to ignore the coming of God in the flesh. They knew it. They'd heard of it. And yet they were not looking for it. Certainly not in a stable of all places. Tonight's gospel reading is another example. Jesus riding into Jerusalem. A crowd cheers him as he enters through the gates. They throw out majestic titles. They say he is the Son of David. They say he is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. They say he is the prophet from Nazareth. Yet as you heard Matthew say, the reaction from the rest of the city is, who's this? Again, everyone knows that Christ is going to go to Jerusalem. The Psalms and the prophets talk about it repeatedly. And Jesus had gone around doing miracles. He had gone around proclaiming and preaching and teaching that he is the one that everyone needed to listen to. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them, that one, that guy, is like a wise man. Yet with all of that, the city thinks that it is totally normal to ignore the coming of God to the city of God. They knew it. They'd heard about it. But they weren't looking for it. Certainly not someone from Nazareth, of all places. Then a couple of weeks ago, we heard about the coming of the Son of Man in his power and might and great glory. And Jesus talked about the signs that would indicate that his return was coming. He said things like false teachers, the instability of nations, wars, earthquakes, famines, Christians being betrayed to rulers, the roaring of the seas, and some other things. And we noted then that all of those signs are going on around us right now. The church has been proclaiming the return of Christ for nearly 2,000 years. The world is not unaware of this claim. But there is a way in which what God says and what we as Christians repeat, that these words get twisted and spun by the world, naturally in an unflattering way. Something along the lines of believers, the church, being crazy. What with all this talk about God coming, all this talk about Judgment Day and that kind of stuff, the world hears what the church says and does its best to ignore it. tells everyone else, don't listen to that. Things are fine. Why don't we just get back to normal? And by normal, the world means life without God. And I hope you see that for what it is. That the world story is a story that says life is totally normal without God. It is a story that says being outside of paradise, being outside of the Garden of Eden where God walked and talked with man and woman, being outside of God's presence, being outside of eternal life, outside of a world without sin, that is both the way things are and the way things are supposed to be. And I hope you see that that is a story of nihilism. That is a story full of despair. That is a story full of death. And the story is that way precisely because it leaves out God. But you gathered here are not to believe the world's lies. You're not to let the world's lies shape your desires, your jealousies, not to let the world tell you what to do with your time, with your life, with your money, not to let the world tell you that it is dark out and that it will always be dark out. And you are not to buy into any of that stuff because, St. Paul tells us, you know the time. And furthermore, because you know God. You know the Son of God sent into Jerusalem that day to ride into Jerusalem and later that week die on a cross and rise again 3 days later. And he does that in order to save us from what the world's lies tells us is totally normal. He does that to save us from a life away from God, to save us from a life where our desires constantly lead to hurt and sorrow and death. You know him, and you know that he is merciful and gracious. And you see his comings, his coming at Bethlehem, his coming into the city of Jerusalem, his coming on the last day. You see that as what is supposed to be totally normal. A life where God will be with us and will dwell with us forever. You know that it is coming, and you are to be looking for it. When the church speaks and repeats the signs of Jesus' return, we do not do that in order to scare you. The point is not that you hear that list that Jesus gives and try and arrange yourself so that none of those things ever affect you. No, we tell you that so that when you see them, when you hear of them, you will look for Christ. You will prepare for his coming. We tell you that so you will constantly gather around his word, gather around his presence, his body and blood, and that you will look for his return. And we tell you that the night will not last forever. We do that to give you hope. We do that to strengthen your faith. We do that in order to tell you to order your desires and your life around Jesus Christ and his coming. We do this so that you will not be like the ones we heard in our reading today, not like someone who knows, yet is not ready. Because behold, your King is coming to you. Prepare for his advent. Amen.